Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, your new favorite podcast.
America's new favorite podcast.
America's favorite small podcast.
I'm Erica.
I'm Claire. And this is a podcast about all of our favorite discoveries that is based on our newsletter that is called 10 Things, in which we introduce 10 of our favorite discoveries from each week. You can sign up for it at www.ofakind.com, which is also where you can find our life's work, which is the products of emerging designers in the fashion and home space that we sell on our website, accompanied by stories about those designers, because we love emerging designers, we love discovering new things, and we love knowing the story behind things.
And telling people about them and kind of shouting from the rooftops.
We're professional enthusiasts.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Okay, so things. So something we want to talk about this week, wellness apps, mostly fitness stuff.
Yeah. We've got some other.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Wellness writ large.
So we were talking about this not that long ago when we were like walking between meetings, and we were having a conversation about how good the Nike apps are.
Yeah. They're really good.
And I have to like get on this train, but can you sell it to me again?
I used to use MapMyRun for running, but the Nike Run Club app or Nike Plus Run Club app is amazing. It has everything you would possibly want in a running app. It tracks your run from a GPS. You can see where you've run. It tracks the distance of your run. It tracks the pace of your run. It chimes in every mile to tell you what your pace is and how many miles you have left. It will congratulate you at the end on what a good job you've done. And sometimes you even hear from like a famous athlete. And
like who?
I don't even know. But like
Dwayne Wade? Is Dwayne Wade being like, congratulations?
No, but maybe awesome. Because he's not a runner. Who?
Oh, okay. It's, really famous runners.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Not even necessarily runners. It used to be Lance Armstrong would come on because he's a runner. I mean, he runs.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's
as
a biker.
So training. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's people who run.
Okay.
So maybe it would be great if Dwayne Wade came on. I'd be thrilled about that.
Yeah.
But when he comes on, he's like, you just killed it. You did your fastest mile. You did your longest run. Keep it up. I'm really proud of you. And that feels awesome. In addition to all of that tracking stuff and keeping track of it, oh, one thing I forgot that I love is you can record what, if you were on a treadmill, if you were on a track.
Like a terrain.
Yeah, what terrain
record.
You're on.
Okay.
You can record what shoes you were wearing. So I can look and see, okay, I've run 100 miles in this pair of shoes. I should probably get a new pair or whatever, yeah, to switch them out. And then it has all of these social sharing things, so you can Instagram really easily in different ways where you can show people your path or you can just show people your pace or whatever. It will plug into Facebook and tell people like, I just went for a run, cheer me on. I just think it's great. I'm into it, and it's really prettily designed, and you can choose power songs so you can be like, Nike, this is the song I need to hear when I really need to step up my game. So when I push for that, you know, play.
Okay,
that
see, that's an amazing feature that I did not know it was in existence anywhere.
I probably haven't even explored the full offering,
the potential
Nike
of this
app. Yeah, and I feel funny about running apps because sometimes I get really into tracking things, and then other times I find that it intimidates me too much, and I just want to be
like
relaxed.
Free to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't use it religiously, but I think for certain people it can be the difference between working out and not working out, because certain people just love to gamify everything or
right.
quantify everything.
Well, the two apps that I use the most are probably the most like basic in multiple senses of the word. So 7-minute workout.
I love the 7-minute workout app.
It's
great.
No, it's great. But so basically, okay, the two apps I used are the 7-minute workout and the C2 5 5K app, which is Couch to 5K.
Okay.
So they're both ostensibly glorified timers.
Okay.
That just have prompts for what you're supposed to do next.
Right.
And they both just feel like the most basic bitch apps you could have on your phone. And listen, it's happening. So, like, whatever.
However you get up and move,
that's
is
the thing.
Great. And I actually think the thing about the 7-minute workout, for those who don't know, this was this workout that rose to prominence, I think, 2 years ago because scientists figured out that this was the most efficient, high-impact workout you could do.
Yeah.
And
it's 7 minutes. And you can. And the other perk of it is that you can do it anywhere in a hotel room.
Exactly.
I mean, it really requires zero equipment. You need, like, something to step onto, like a chair.
But it's really helpful because I think you do everything in what, like 60-second increments? I can't remember.
30-second
increments. So you need a timer in order to do that.
Yes.
And you need somebody to tell you what's next because it all moves really quickly.
No, the app is hugely useful. It's hugely useful. And the same with the Couch to 5K app, which also basically just tells you what you're going to do and how long you're going to do it for.
Yeah.
And then tells you, you know, okay, start jogging now, start cooling down now, whatever, which is just useful. The thing I don't love about that app is that, which is what I was complaining to you about, is that it doesn't tell you, like, what your pace is
or any of that.
So you have to, like, run something else in the background, which is frustrating.
So the Nike Run Club app has training programs on it. You can say, I want to train for a 5K.
Okay.
And I want to run the 5K on this date, and it will and then every day it'll say, okay, today you're going to run 3 miles and at this pace or whatever. And so, yeah, I think the Nike, you should try that one for sure.
Yeah.
The other one that I think is similar to 7-minute workout, but again, like an expanded version of it, is Nike has something called Nike Training Club
that is
all strength training and calisthenics and stuff like that.
That are all, like, a little bit more involved and with some, like, big deal trainers and stuff.
Yeah, and they yell at you and stuff.
Yeah, that
same
sort of
way
thing.
The 7-minute workout does.
The other, this is not really fitness, but the other thing that we both have used, various levels of commitment, is the Headspace app.
It's a meditation app.
Yes, and it's a 10-minute meditation that is
guided.
I've
advanced past 10-minute, which is why I've stopped using it so much.
Because
once you're like, oh, now I have to do it for 15, that's a big commitment.
That is a big commitment.
But it's guided meditation. It really does a good job of teaching you the basics of meditation and reminding you to do it. And
it's not annoying. It's not, like, it's not aggressively spiritual. So if you don't buy into anything but just sitting quiet for 10 minutes, this is down with you.
It is very much built for the non-spiritual, the like person who thinks they'd never meditate, would never want to go to yoga. It's very
caters to that set.
Yeah. It's very black and white in that sense. It's not, there's nothing. Yeah. Religious about it. I want to go back to fitness for a second, though.
Yeah.
The Mind Body app is, well, I guess it's not even just fitness. It's fitness and spas. It's a booking app.
Yeah.
And I started using it I've been using it for years, but it's, like, almost by accident that it's become this app that is central to me because all of the places that I love are on it. So my acupuncturist is on it. The bar studio that I like is on it. The gym that I like is on it.
Well, and if you ever have booked, like, a bar class anywhere, you've probably encountered the sort of mind-body interface. But now they've built out this, or they've utilized an app so that you can access all of these things through the same portal,
as
opposed to going
wonderful.
To the, you know, the spin classes website and booking from there.
Right. And you don't have to sign up for the spin classes website separately, which is a big plus. And you can pay right on the app too and book ahead of time. It just makes it really easy. So every night before I go to bed, I just look and see, you know, what classes my gym is offering the next morning and decide if I want to go, which is wonderful.
Pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Pretty wonderful. Related to working out, and we talked about that working out helps us both feel better, but then also potentially triggers headaches.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Spinning will give me the worst migraine.
And related to this, the Migraine Buddy app that you started using.
So I get terrible migraines, which my new thing is I want to tell every, like, put it in our newsletter and talk about it on podcast with the hopes that someone will come to me with
solve
a solution.
Your problem.
Somebody did email me when I mentioned it in our newsletter last week and told me about a herbal pill that I'm going to try out. I'll let you know how that goes. But Migraine Buddy is a tracking app that you basically, when you start having a migraine, you tell it and you say what you think the triggers might be. You tell it what medicine you took and you tell it when it's over and sort of how it, you know, why it ended and if it ever
came
back.
How long it lasted.
Exactly. And it's got all of the typical triggers in it. So it says like, are you on your period? Are you about to get your period?
Did you drink red wine?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was physical exertion, lack of sleep. And it's useful in the sense that it has this analytics dashboard where once you've input enough headaches, it's like, look, obviously these all have to do with your period, or, you know, these are your multiple triggers, or this is the medicine that's working for you.
Or when it's especially cold out, you're hunching up your shoulders.
Exactly. And so it's nice to, it'll even tell you, like what day of the week or something, so okay. that you can start to draw conclusions, which is the thing anytime I've ever seen a doctor about my headaches, their thing is keep a diary, keep mm-hmm. a diary. You have to keep a diary. And this just makes it easy to keep the diary. It hasn't solved it for me, but it has been a nice way to keep track of everything.
All right. Well, enough of these headaches.
Yeah.
let's go to commercial.
Yes.
And then we will be back with a very special guest.
Born from discord and harmonies, raised by the rays of the falling sun, cruel outrage about your Cupid, they snapped the killer of the mighty python. So a typical to typical A. Ain't nice or hard, turns the other tail. His animals to God to glory is so much less than mine. Animals to God to glory is so much less than mine. One ribbon bound an upper hair, dresses fall past her shoulders, and low to have anything to do with men. Love fears to Palo Sorrento.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Hello. We're back, and you're in luck, because we're back.
This is A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we talk every week about our discoveries on Wednesdays at 5, so keep on tuning in. And we have a special guest now after the break. Big deal.
Cassie Marquetos.
Super big deal. Hi, Cassie.
Hi, Cassie. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Cassie runs the day-to-day of Dollar a Day. That's almost a lot of days that I said there. I really could have done a better
job.
We
did that on purpose to embarrass everyone that has to talk about us.
Which is a project that helps make charitable giving easier and just lighter for everyone. And she's also a writer and freelancer and community-building maven.
Yes.
You put that really nicely.
I think it's all true.
Do you want to rewrite my resume for me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will make it one page. That's my rule.
Just put a picture.
We're so excited to talk to you, Cassie.
Oh, great.
Will you tell us what Dollar a Day is?
Dollar a Day is a project. It was a side project of a few people at a company I used to work for called Kickstarter. Mm-hmm.
Just a small company.
Every single person listening has probably heard of it.
Yeah,
because it's a big deal. I started there.
Yes.
Well, it's the idea is that you sign up to give a dollar a day to a different charity. Dollar a day, our team selects those charities with mm-hmm. the idea that we're going to try to feature smaller, maybe more under the radar organizations. So our mission is twofold. One is we kind of open up the idea of giving to lots of people at all mm-hmm. income levels. Mm-hmm. And also we help you discover nonprofits you might never have known about, causes that you didn't know existed, ways of solving mm-hmm. problems that you weren't aware of before. So the discovery aspect is huge for us. Obviously, we spend a lot of time curating our calendar.
And you send a newsletter about each of the organizations too, which is really awesome.
I write that newsletter every day.
Well, and for me, the appeal is the discovery, and that it just feels so primed for this moment in time in our generation specifically, where you just set it and forget it, and it's $1 a day, which it feels manageable, right? Yeah. For a lot of people, you're like, I can totally give a dollar a day, or maybe you already do try to give a dollar a day to somebody on the street, and this is just like a different way to do it. And what feels nice about it is that the more popular it gets, the more high impact it is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think a dollar a day doesn't seem like much to the individual, mm-hmm. but the collective impact can be huge. I mean, we are hitting our year mark in a couple weeks, and today date, we've given over $300,000 to charity.
Amazing.
Which is amazing because we've had between 700 to 1,500 subscribers, I mean, excuse me, donors, throughout the course of our existence. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge amount of money going to nonprofits from a small community of dedicated people.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, it's interesting because, like every industry, right, charitable giving is changing so dramatically because of the internet and the technologies that we all have. And, you know, Dollar a Day is one way that that's happening. And I think companies are starting to figure out that our generation has sort of a different way of thinking about charitable giving. So they're all doing, you know, approaching it in different ways. And the Kickstarter model has translated to things like GoFundMe and what's the other? Is that
there are a bunch of
I've never heard of any of them. What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. I know them all because I've donated them to them all through different things. But
there's ones for music. There are ones for charity. Yeah. There's catch-alls.
There's a lot of charity ones, right? That just allow people to say, like, here's my project, or to pick a project to say, I want to give a teacher.
Raise money for this project.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, Indiegogo has like a charitable arm, for example. Yeah, there's lots of them. Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're really interested in talking to you about is what you've learned about charitable giving over the course of the year that you have been working on this project and what your sort of big takeaways have been.
This is going to sound so cliche, but it was hard. It's hard to know this in the abstract, and then working a dollar a day helped me experience it in reality almost every day. But a small amount of money does a lot.
Yeah.
And so you may consider your contribution paltry to an organization that's tackling a massive problem, but your buck matters. It really does. Yep. And I know this because I get letters from the organizations that we donate to almost every day telling us where the money's going, what's it going to do, what the impact is going to be. And I don't think I knew before how big of a deal it is.
Yeah.
And I think the attitude toward charitable giving or volunteering or any aspect of philanthropic work, people tend to get disheartened because they think, I can't stop this problem. I can't change the world. And I'm making air quotes. You can't see. But I think the idea of how we need to approach these things and the way our generation is starting to is that it doesn't matter if I see the difference in my lifetime, but it matters to me that I know I'm living my life and doing things in a way that is, quote unquote, again, right.
Right.
And like, will
and
make
that is bettering
better.
Something in some way.
I think it's so philosophical, but like that really struck me working on this project. Like, it's not about solving the problem yourself today.
And what the timeline is on this.
Yeah.
How do you vet these organizations and decide where the dollar is going to make the biggest impact? Because I know something for me, and I've worked in fundraising before in the arts, is that, you know, a big concern for people is, well, if I give you $10, is $8 of it going to go towards paying your salary?
Yeah. So we're definitely aware of that. When we vet organizations, we look through their 990s, and there's a lot of organizations like Charity Navigator and GuideStar that kind of parse that information in ways like, by, you know, you can see all this stuff by just going through the 990. You see admin, you see overhead, you see if they have professional fundraising fees, line 14 on their 990 if anyone wants to look.
Right.
So you can get a sense of like how a company is spending its money.
But then there are search engines that you can also use basically to...
Charity Navigator would be an example of that. They'll give it a rating, and they'll kind of give you graph. They'll give provide graphs that give you a breakdown. I would say, though, like, I think contemporary thinking around the way charities and nonprofits are spending money is changing a lot in terms of overhead, because to run a company well and run it efficiently, you have to invest in infrastructure.
Yes.
And I think
and talented
it's a little
people
unfair
to run it.
Yeah, yeah. If you're living in New York and you want to attract like an amazing CEO, you have to pay them a salary that lets them live a life in New York. And I think people are starting to become a little more forgiving of, you can't run an organization on heart alone. You have to invest in people, and
that's right.
That's ends up tripling the impact on the other end, because you don't have inefficient structures hampering you on the inside. Anyway,
that makes a lot of sense.
That's really helpful. This is the type of stuff I want to know. Because I think it's really important. And I only know some of it from having worked in nonprofits and fundraising, but I think most people don't really have that much insight into it.
What about charitable events and things like that? I mean, that's something that I think the older that I get, the more outreach there is to attend something and support a cause in that way. Is yes, no? Like, how should you think about that kind of stuff?
I think both are valuable. I think at the end of the day, if you both are valuable. One is more direct. If you just give money to an organization, that money will turn into things that are being done. But I might be in the minority, but events and fundraisers are really important for contributing to a public awareness of a cause. Yes. And
that collective effervescence around an idea, yes. Right?
And communities need to be fed. Yeah. So if you're just giving money to an organization and it's a one-way exchange in that way, it's hard to create a sustainable concept. Like,
well, and loyalty, I think. I think that does help build loyalty and make people feel like, okay, this is something I'm part of and I want to continue to be part of it for years to come.
Yeah.
Because that sense of community is so powerful in getting people to take action.
Yes, I totally agree. I think events, photos, people getting together to learn about a cause, contribute money to it, I think there's a lot of value in that. I think if you're a person who's choosing between the two things, I would really look in yourself for your motivations for going to an event. And if it's because you want to, like, post a photo on your Facebook and adorn your social life with this is an accessory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe do something else with your time.
Right.
But there's lots of good reasons to go to those things too.
Similarly to events, could you have any insight into why charity has become such a big thing with racing and sporting events in general? So triathlons, running, bike races. Charity is always a huge component and people are always raising money for it. Do you have insight into how that all works?
Weren't you guys just talking about the gamification of the world?
Yeah, we were. We were.
I think it's a similar principle. Yeah. I think it provides a point of rallying.
Right.
You know, I mean, drawing the Kickstarter correlation, having people to hit their goal creates the sense of camaraderie, immediacy, and it really empowers people and it rallies people around something. And I think having an event or having a concrete thing for people
that you're working
to do
toward,
that you're working toward just creates a sense of community and achievement and positivity in that world. And also just, it's a thing you can feel like you're doing, and I think it feels really good.
No, I agree with that. I mean, I love the marathon. It's one of my favorite days in New York. And when you see these people who are saying, like, I'm doing this for somebody who's sick or who passed away, and sort of in memory of them, you see it elevates the experience in that way and makes it special.
Well, and it feels like they put themselves out in a really physical way and worked hard to achieve something that they didn't necessarily think they could achieve. And, you know, that... That's
spectacle.
Like the problem they can solve. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds cynical, but it really is. It's like, it's the same thing as going to an event. Like, it creates a spectacle around a cause and...
Yeah. And that is, like, can be a powerful thing.
That draws
thing.
Attention and then people... it's awareness raising, I think.
Totally. Can you tell us about some of the organizations you've discovered through, you know, your last year with Dollar Day that you didn't know about before and that you're super psyched on?
We have like 45 minutes left in the show, right?
Or like an hour and a half.
There are so many cool organizations out there. It's really inspiring. Yeah. Some of my favorites are ones, like, I never would have thought this was a thing people did, but there's an organization called the Center for Creative Land Recycling, and they just, all over the world, they'll find unused buildings or unused spaces and they'll kind of transform them into these functional civic spaces, like redoing waterfronts, creating like markets where old warehouses were that the towns or cities didn't have the funding to do something, but they'll, you know, their goal is to make everything really community oriented, to create places where commerce and community can happen, to revitalize communities.
That's amazing.
And, you know, they work one-on-one with people in the city. They design something that makes sense, that can be maintained, that fits into existing infrastructure. It's their whole approach is really smart, and it's so cool the things they've done. There's one called City Blossoms that's right here in New York. It's a very modest organization that just helps connect schoolrooms with building and maintaining community gardens. Obviously, that's extremely
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. When it comes to aid, like medical aid and support for disasters, is Red Cross just sort of the go-to and the gold standard? Are there other people doing similar stuff that we should know about?
So many. The other one I was going to say was Mammoth Medical Missions, which is like a first responder nonprofit where they're enabled and set up to get people into areas post-disaster immediately.
Okay.
But there's lots of organizations that do first response stuff. And there's also a lot of organizations like Shelterbox that do...
Yes.
Do you know Shelterbox?
I have heard about Shelterbox.
Yeah, they do like disaster preparedness, but also enable people to sustain themselves post-disaster more so than immediate medical attention.
Okay.
Shelterbox is like a box of... It's like a tent. It's like a water pump. It's things you need if you're in a remote place and there's just been like a huge fire and you're trying to give your family shelter and clothing. And
do they sell these? too? Or
just... I don't know if they sell them. I know they donate them, but I'm not sure yet.
Huh, that's so interesting.
But yeah, so there's lots of those too.
Amazing. How do you decide what charity is for you? Because I think a lot, the thing that I loved about Dollar a Day is that the idea of like picking a charity is so overwhelming for me.
It's super hard.
Right? And you can, I think, I'm sure there's a million different answers, right? And you can say you should pick the thing that you personally relate to, or you should just pick the thing that feels like the biggest need to you, or, you know, who knows? But I kind of love the idea of spreading it across and and having people pick it for me. And I know that's the appeal of United Way for a lot of people, because they sort of do that same thing.
Well, we were talking about this because I donated to this really cool cause recently called Operation Backpack, which sets up homeless kids in New York with all the school supplies they need to go back to school and feel, you know, good about the school year and like they fit in and like they, you know, that they're not identifiably homeless kids, which I think is a big issue if you're walking into a classroom. And it's one of those things that I like, I am connected to in an emotional way. But then it's like, on the other hand, you know, there are all of these organizations that are helping people who are dying. And is that more important? And how do you measure these things? And should you or should you care? Yeah. I don't know. It's something I like mentally struggle with.
I think that's like a two-part question.
Yeah.
The first thing about finding a charity or a nonprofit that makes sense to you, I would say think about the things and people you love.
Yeah.
And think about them deeply. And there are things connected to all of those things that are nonprofits, like, you know, the City Blossoms thing. If you have a great relationship with your cousin and he goes to a school in the Bronx and they don't have good funding, think about something like Wellness in Schools that like creates these innovative nutrition and educational programs and connects classrooms with them. And even though it may not be affecting your cousin directly, it's affecting people like him and in his position. And I think that's important. So I would think about it that way in the abstract and then dial down. You can use tools like Charity Navigator and GuideStar or give.org to browse and find an org that matches up with where your heart is to an organization that fits that. In terms of where your money's best spent and where it's needed most, I don't think there is a correct answer to that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of organizations that are in the business of stemming the immediate and most emergency kind of symptoms of society's ills. And I think that is important, but, you know, so is giving a kid school supplies and like thinking about, you know, because if you think about the long term impact,
you
empower somebody with education, they grow up differently. They then raise kids with a different attitude, and the chain reaction of that is intense and powerful.
Very much.
On one hand, there's like an immediate impact that can be measured in a really visceral way. On the other, it's slightly more abstract, but I think both are dramatically important.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I could talk about this forever. It's so interesting. I want to get into volunteering.
It's hard
I want
to talk
about all of it. We're out of time, but thank you. Is there anything else we should know? Well, if you could think of anything, we'll post it on the
blog. Dollar a Day has 365 charities listed on our calendar. So if you want to get started on looking at some off the radar orgs, dollaraday.co/calendar is a great resource.
Amazing.
I love it. And what you know about all of those is they've been vetted because Cassie did the work of checking out their line 14 on their 990.
Asking questions.
So I love that. So thank you for telling us that. Well, this has been A Few Things with Claire and Erica, and we are here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the back of Roberta's pizza restaurant this show.
You can listen to us from the Heritage Radio website, on iTunes, on Stitcher. Subscribe, write nice things. We'll see you next
week.
Leave comments.
Thanks to Liz, our engineer.
That's the show.
Bye.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today.
Thanks for listening.